From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome back to the Jack and Spike Show. As Donald Trump ponders a VP pick, number one question, who's going to bring me the money? Show me the money who's going to be the VP. I think we know exactly who it's going to be, or at least who the best choice is.
Yeah, I would think, him. Yeah.
Looks like Trump's trial's still ongoing, and the old hush money trial. The court is back in session as of about 8 minutes ago. Jury selection, super boring, not momentous in any way, shape, or form, and in no way, shape, or form, unprecedented. I think this is all giga cringe. Trump's media companies haven't... We are doing so much Trump. Why don't we start with some Biden news?
Please.
So Spike O'Neill decided that he was going to get a little spicy during the pre-show meeting today. He said he came out guns blazing. Came out swinging because he said, "I think that Joe Biden is trying to sandbag his own presidential campaign." I said, "For why, Mr. O'Neill?" And then Spike looks at me with tears in his eyes and he says, "Sir, I can't believe they're charging you with these crimes." Wait, it's a Trump story. I did it again. He looks at me with tears in his eyes. And he says, because Joe Biden is trying to close the gun show loophole and all this student debt relief. He said, it's almost like he's trying to lose. That's what Spike said with supreme confidence. And I said, but Mr. O'Neill, these things are indeed actually good things. They actually help President Biden. This is an interesting turn of affairs, because normally I would be saying the opposite and you would be saying what I was saying. But now it is indeed bizarre. Mercury is in retrograde. So please, Spike, why do you think that these things harm President Biden?
Well, this is one of those races where both bases are entrenched and there's that sliver in the middle that could decide, right? Mm-hmm. So it's about voter turnout. It's about getting out your base to an election that neither side wants their guy. Mm-hmm. 3/4 of Americans don't want these two retreads to be out there wanting one more time, breaking the old record for oldest candidates held by them 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And nothing's going to fire up the Trump voting base. Mm-hmm. Like coming after their guns.
He's not coming after their guns.
But it'll be, Biden's closing the loophole. Second Amendment.
I mean, but Spike, this is like gun store owners have been asking for this for quite some time. This is not an unpopular talking point within gun store owners or NRA members.
I would agree.
So the gun show loophole is often not understood very well. And basically it goes like this. If there are different kinds of gun shows all over the United States. Mm-hmm. And in some of these states, you have to be a federally licensed firearms dealer in order to sell your guns there. In other states, you don't. The people who are federally licensed are required under law to do a background check, even if it's at a gun show. The people who are just independent sellers are not required to do so. However, if they feel as if you are a nefarious character, they don't have to sell you the gun, right? Or if they don't have any reasonable suspicion that you would commit a crime with it, they don't have to sell you that gun. That's it. That's basically what Biden wants to do, is say, if you want to sell guns at a gun show, you got to have a license to do so.
Got
to
be a licensed gun dealer.
And you got to run a background check on those people.
And that used to be just if you had a brick and mortar gun store. Yeah. That's the only people who had to be a licensed gun dealer.
That's literally what I just said.
Right, but the loophole does means nobody can go to a gun show and sell licenses just because they don't have a brick and mortar store. They're bringing regulations up to modern day commerce, right?
Literally what I just said. Yes.
But do you think that's what message is going to be sent to the Trump voting base?
I think that they're smart enough to read, Spike.
You do?
I do, because really? If you actually look at the data on this, which you could have done before you made your argument. Most people who sell guns at gun shows are fine with this, because often what happens is that the people who sell guns at gun shows, in order to do the background check, they pay a fee so that the people who are putting on said gun show will run the background check while you are waiting. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense to me.
So the only way that there's a gun show loophole is, you know, it can be interpreted in a negative or a wrong way as people who are just ignorant. And I don't think that MAGA voters are ignorant about gun laws. Call me crazy. I'm pretty sure they're fine with it.
I may have underestimated the willingness and ability to read into an issue instead of just reacting to a commercial on their TV or a meme on their Facebook account.
No, I think what it is, Spike, is that I think that you don't think, and I mean this in all kindness, my friend. I mean this in the most sincere, the kindest way I can possibly muster. You don't give a lot of credence to MAGA voters as people.
I think that might be the most accurate statement I've ever heard you make.
You don't give those poor people with their type 2 diabetes.
I don't care how much they make.
And their
flag T-shirts. And their Trump on the back of a tank flags.
Their addiction to Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't give those poor people who are just trying to make ends meet, you know, being a greeter at a Walmart.
Yeah. Right.
You don't give those people a lot of credence. And for me, my thought about it is that MAGA people are unfortunately the victims of Donald Trump because they care about their country so much and they believe fundamentally in freedom and freedom of speech and so on and so forth. Mm. And then they believe a real estate salesman who would rather, undercut every business partner that he's ever had rather than pay his fair share in taxes. They believe that guy over other people who are anti-state actors. And it's really quite very sad. But I think we need to give those people a lot of credit for calling out a lot of the same criticisms that leftists do when it comes to government.
I'll be the first to own my bias in this regard. Yeah, right. Absolutely. I just think if you're going to run for re-election in a troubled economy, by all accounts, you don't bring up the issues of any gun issues in election year. You don't bring up any of the student loan relief, the ne'er-do-wells with their underwater lesbian basketball degrees, I just see this stuff flooded all over social media and all over TV and all of it and in news and in rallies.
Laura, can we just get a quick poll really quick? If you are a MAGA person and a gun person, does it bother you that Biden is attempting to require that if you sell guns at a gun show, you have to run a background check on that person? Can we just get a quick poll over the next 60 seconds? Yeah. We'll just see how many people, because I would bet dollars to donuts, because I don't have either of those two things, that most MAGA people would say, I'm totally fine with it because I am not a criminal and I am a responsible citizen and I believe that I should have my rights to a firearm. Donald Trump is pondering VP contenders. He asks, can they show me the money? There's only one candidate that I think would be able to do this, truthfully, and I'm stealing it from you.
To bring the money?
To bring the money.
Okay, go ahead.
You got to pick somebody who's got a military background.
Mm-hmm.
You got to pick somebody who's vaguely anti-vax. You got to pick somebody who's anti-woke, charismatic, good-looking, get out the youth vote. Now, there's only one person that can do that, okay? And that's Dick Cheney. That's right.
Yep.
Bring in Dick Cheney. No, it's got to be Tulsi Gabbard.
Yeah, it does got to be Tulsi Gabbard.
It's got to be Tulsi Gabbard.
Although, I love the idea of Cheney's back.
Cheney's back, baby. He's running things. No, it's got to be Tulsi
Gabbard.
Now,
yeah.
You said that about a month ago, and I laughed and guffawed in your face. I fell onto the ground in hysterics because I thought it was so funny. And then I was thinking about it. What demo does Trump need more than anything else? Young voters.
Yep.
And there's only one person that I think can bring in those dollars and one person who can generate that kind of interest. That's going to be Tulsi, 100%.
There's a couple of people that fall into the right demographic of the perfect female candidate. Mm-hmm. And I say female, I think it's going to be a female candidate.
Oh, you know really it is, do. My friend. Because, us voters, we only vote with our eyes.
And
I don't mean
to give MAGA not enough credit anymore. You know what I'm saying? I've already been tried and convicted on that front. You're right about it. Kristi Noem comes to mind. But when you watch Kristi Noem speak in public and you watch Tulsi Gabbard speak in public,
Gabbard
is a flame. She's like the beats the six-fingered man. She's a... I'm making a dueling reference.
Oh,
a swordsman.
From the Princess and the
Princess
Bride.
Princess Bride. Tulsi Gabbard's media, it's savvy beyond belief.
Very, very savvy indeed.
A veteran. Like you said, she's got it all in the way of a VP candidate.
Laura, what's the results of our MAGA poll, just out of curiosity?
Very much in favor of background checks at gun shows. Overwhelmingly so.
I told you, MAGA people are not stupid people, and they want law-abiding citizens to be able to get firearms, and that is why they are in favor of this, because this is just kind of a common-sense gun law, much like how my friend who works at that one gun shop locally, he had the same position on it, that of course you should be running a background check, but just don't make it onerous. Don't make it to the point where if I want to purchase this firearm, don't make it to the point where I have to wait 3 months or whatever.
Sure. Responsible gun ownership rules. Yeah, I'm with you. And a vast majority of Americans are already in that boat rowing toward the other side of the river.
Right,
absolutely
exactly.
True. Yeah.
Jury selection begins in Trump's historic hush money trial. I'm the only person that can be an impartial juror in Donald Trump's trial. Because I don't really care either way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
Whether he did it or not. It doesn't make any difference to me. I would just like to see the facts and the evidence of the case. Now, I don't necessarily like former President Donald Trump. I think that he's a despicable human being. I don't think that he's fit to be president. And I think that he probably smells like Starburst and McDonald's. But that's besides the point. What we should really be focusing on here is whether or not he committed the crime or not. And I am the kind of person, despite my biases, I am big enough to admit that if I don't see evidence that is compelling or convincing, I would vote that the guy's not guilty because I fundamentally believe in our justice system.
Do you think, and I will say this through complete ownership, I don't think I could be unbiased. I carry enough matching TDS luggage across the threshold of the courtroom. I wouldn't be able to look at this evidence with an open mind. I'm smart enough to know I carry too much baggage.
So can you mind if I analyze really quick?
Sure.
What do you think the origin of your TDS is? What's the origin of your? Because I'll tell you this, I'm horrifically arachnophobic. Okay, I'm going to go way out there, but I'll bring it right back in.
Sure.
When I was a kid, my sister used to catch tarantulas on our property, and she'd put them in bleach buckets, and then we would not with bleach in them, no, but empty. And then we would watch them, and we would observe them, and then we'd release them back into the wild. I had no fear of them whatsoever.
Okay.
Then my mom decided that she would rent a little movie called Arachnophobia, and she would put her children in front of the television and walk away. And that night, my sister decided that it would be hilarious to go outside and catch a bunch of crickets and put them in my bed. As a result of that, I have now been horrifically traumatized to the point where if I see a piece of claw or a little like dust bunny rolling like a tumbleweed through my living room, I will jump up onto a chair and pull up my dress and scream. So that's why I'm horrifically arachnophobic, because of my sociopath sister. There's an origin for the things that we are obsessed with or that we have fear around, generally in a series of traumatic memories or a singular point of inflection. I'm curious where your TDS comes from.
I would have to, given the fact I've been given quite a little bit of runway here to think about it while you've been describing the situation, I think it boils down to my fourth grade librarian.
Wow.
My fourth grade librarian introduced me to a series of books about the American presidency.
Okay.
With various presidents in our history. Very romanticized, very, you know, whitewashed histories of our... None of the books I fell in love with in the fourth grade ever had any history of slave ownership for my heroes. Mm-hmm. I think that the American president is maybe the most... It should be the most revered position, not only in the country, but on the face of the earth.
Okay.
America's responsibility to lead the world. And in the era I grew up in. I grew up as a post-Cold War baby, you know. I think then former President Trump's assault on what it means to on the office of the president itself. I think everything I've seen the man do from the time he came down the escalator and started pointing fingers at other people and xenophobic, yada, 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 yada. And then everything that's happened since then has just compounded that. That disdain for how this gentleman treats the office of the presidency.
Okay, well, that's a fair assessment. Thankfully, you didn't invest in his stocks, though, because Truth Social has dropped an additional 15% after the company files to issue an additional DJT stock. Now, I don't know anything about stocks or trading, so I'm not going to pretend to, because that would be lying and that would be bad radio. But what I will say is that just from an outsider's perspective, I need a lot of money, let's just say. I have a company that's not really doing so well, that's basically trash, that nobody uses. Do you know that there are fewer users on Truth Social than, like, you know how it's about 100 million people, or 100 million engagements in a month?
Really?
Yeah.
And how many, for example, how many would X have?
5 billion.
Holy cow, that's less.
Right. So Truth Social is basically Donald Trump's own private Twitter account that's been moved to a different platform.
Because he was at the time thrown from Twitter.
Yeah, and rightfully so. Yeah. And so what I see with Trump doing here is effectively trying to pump up, borrow against, and then have that as collateral, hoping that the stock doesn't completely flatline, which, according to this article, it's going to. It just is not doing very well. People are the short on this is so high. It's so expensive to try to short this stock that people aren't even engaging in that, because it's basically a sign that it will fail, if that makes sense.
And all the reports came out about how much Truth Social brought in as opposed to how much it spent.
Yes.
In administrative costs and whatnot, which is just a bad business model by anybody's economic metric. And then you couple that with the former president before it went public making these statements on social media.
Yeah.
Which are kind of against, I don't know a lot about stocks either, but I know that you're not allowed to pump up a stock before it goes public.
No.
So that's another problem staring down the barrel of Truth Social.
I just feel bad for Donnie. You know what I mean? I just feel bad for him because he just, gosh darn it, he just wanted to get in here and drain the swamp. right? Gosh darn it.
Best of intentions.
Best of intentions.
Sure.
Now he's got criminal trials, doesn't have any money left. Not having a hard time speaking. Did you see that weird rambling thing that he did over the weekend?
Yeah. Well, was that the one in Pennsylvania?
That was the one in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that was tough to watch. Late in the day, though.
He's having a bad time. His defense, he's older. My thought was, you got beautiful beachfront property that's worth $300 million.
And you got grandkids worth even more than that and even more beautiful than that. What are you doing here?
What are you doing,
man? What are you doing?
He's like, he came in and he made all these big promises and he basically lied about every single one of them. And now he's got all this trouble for it. And my thought about it is like, dude, just go enjoy the rest of your, what will probably be your very short life given your health. Like, please just go and enjoy what time you have left on God's green earth rather than spending it in courtrooms and doing all this garbage. Just like, go away. It'd be really great, I think, for him. They go eat ice cream and play golf all day, just like Joe Biden.
Do you think he would trade if he had a Wayback Machine? Would he trade it all? Would he go back to a certain point in his recent history and say, you know what, I'm not going to run again after losing in 2020. I'm just going to take my chips and I'm going to go home. Ivanka's got these 37 trademarks from China that'll help us in the future.
Yeah,
I'll play with the grandkids.
Yeah, sell off Trump Tower.
Whatever. Yeah,
my own business.
You know what? I've done enough to help the New York skyline, which I built.
Yeah, I think that would have been better for him. I think that when you are a malignant narcissist and you can't handle losing or you can't handle confrontation, at that point in time, it's not really about logic. It's about protecting the wounded and fragile piece of you that's buried deep inside of your soul, which is why he's going through all this song and dance, which is fundamentally just incredibly embarrassing. You are having to be in a courtroom trying to defend campaign finance fraud because you allegedly ordered one of your lawyer buddies to make a shell company to transfer money to a porn star and then use campaign funds to pay him back. Like, that is an embarrassing place to be. And so that's why I, in a certain way, I just kind of feel bad for the guy. And I'm not very sympathetic to the people who are saying that this is in some way, shape, or form, Trump's redemption tour or whatever.
That's what he's selling it as.
Right, but he's got to be in court every single day.
Yeah. I feel bad.
Every day he's got to be there.
I feel even, you know, and I do feel bad for the former president having this guy, for whatever his intents and purposes, he deserves better. I feel even worse for the former first lady. For Melania Trump this week, it's gonna be a tough 4 or 6 weeks for.
It's gonna be bad times, I would say. Yeah. Look at the man walking out of the court, gesturing. Look at that paragon of physical fitness. That's what I like to say. We'll take a really quick.
Ding 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 ding.
Thank you,
Andrew. Look at the acronym.
Take a really quick break. When we get back, I don't think of myself as rich. I do, but other Americans don't, and they make more money than I do. $400,000 a year is what people say. I don't think I'm rich making $400K a year.
Wow.
I got news for those people. You are wrong. You are wrong. And I shall make fun of those people when we get back right after this.
Boom.
Sitting around a campfire with guitars and all you can hear is guar
or bass.
Take my money under force of violence. Yeah. That was so fast, Laura. Wow, that's so fast. Cringe or bass, a fun game we like to play every single day, 1:34, because Aaron Granillo is Johnny on the spot when it comes to that 2-minute news break. So there's this article talking about taxes because today's tax day, and talk about Biden is back on the campaign trail, talking about his new tax policy, talking about $400,000. Nobody really cares about any of that garbage. What I really care about in this article is this. Talking to people who make $400,000, they are basically people who are so entitled, it's not even funny. They say, I don't think of myself as being rich, is what they say. I don't think of myself as being wealthy. I just don't. With all the expenses that one has.
They don't identify with that label.
I don't identify with the wealth. I mean, you have child care, private school, got a couple of car payments on the Beamers.
Yeah. These things are expensive.
The Jag as well. Yeah. I have to put $20K into my 401K every year. I mean, please. Yeah, there's a match program there, but I'm not wealthy.
Sure.
Five bedrooms.
I'm talking about the summer place up at Chelan. You know, that's for the kids in Richmond.
Right. And then we got the rental properties that are available.
$400.
I mean, and then you gotta hire cleaning ladies to clean them. I mean, they make $20 an hour. It's an outrage, all the things I have to take care of. And don't even get me started on Javier, our personal chef. He wants health benefits. What has this world come to with my $400,000? So my thought about it is basically this. It's a talking point that I've used a couple of times. Americans do not realize how much they are getting worked over by the corporate system and or by the federal government when it comes to the way that we conceive of wealth or the way that we conceive of what it means to be middle class in the United States.
Okay.
We're getting worked over, basically, is the best way to put it. I'm not an anti-rich guy in any way, shape, or form, right? I think that people should be able to accrue wealth over the course of their life. What I am against wholeheartedly is the crab in the bucket mentality that we have currently, where if I'm the crab who's at the top of the pile and I'm able to worm my way out and drop onto the ground and say, ha, look at all you stupid crabs in the bucket. That is not a good way to think about how we should be uplifting people out of positions of poverty and into a comfortable financial space. I'm not talking about private planes for everybody, but I am talking about affordable housing or whatever it is. Did you see there was a on the Seattle subreddit, someone did this thing. They looked at someone who had flipped a house here in Seattle.
Okay.
The house was bought in February for $772,000.
Okay.
Relisted last month. Guess the number. They never moved into. Just bought. Relisted for how much?
Did they do major upgrades? Major
Not
repairs?
A thing.
Okay. So, 8?
1.4.
No.
1.4. Hand to God. It was listed on Redfin.
And they shouldn't be taxed on that 700 grand profit for doing nothing over 2 months. Maybe they listed it. That was an afternoon.
I mean, the thing that we're dealing with now in the United States is this mentality, and I read about it every day, people saying, I will never be able to do X, Y, or Z based on the economic conditions that we accept as Americans. It is unacceptable that people in this country, wherever they live, make $7.25 an hour. It's simply unacceptable. Now, when people talk about the labor theory of value or whatever it is, or you're paid what you're worth or whatever it is,
right.
This is all trash. This is all garbage. This is all propaganda that we are fed by think tanks who are designed to deliver that messaging so that you think that because you're making $25 an hour or $28 an hour, that that is the value of your labor. And then that guy over there or that lady over there who's working in childcare or that guy who's mowing lawns or whatever it is, the value of his labor is somehow less than yours. These aren't Marxist ideas that I'm sharing with people. These are basic capitalist principles. We are underpaid as Americans. We are devalued as workers. Our labor is not seen as being valuable, not because it is intrinsically not value, but because we are told at a cultural level that it's not valuable. Low skill labor is what we call it, right?
Yeah. You use the word think tank.
There's one job that's low skill labor. Do you want to know what it is?
Radio host?
This job right
there
here.
There you go. Hey,
low
I got
skill.
One right.
This is the definition of a low skill labor job. I sit in an air conditioned room and I speak into a microphone extemporaneously. I have no script. I yell at Andrew. I yell at Laura. I yell at Spike. I make six figures a year and I go home, right? I'm flying first class in a couple of days. This is insane. I do nothing. And then when I say that somebody who, I don't know, works in childcare deserves $25 an hour, what do people say? Low skill labor, Jack.
Anybody can watch kids sleep.
Anybody can. What are you, a communist, Jack? They're worth what they're paid. It's what the business is offering. What I'm saying is that the entire economic model needs to be readdressed. I'm not talking about some massive socialist upheaval. What I'm talking about is that it is obscene in so many cases that somebody is underpaid to such a degree in whatever field that they're in that they need to take two or three jobs in order to just subsist. That is obscene, and we should not put up with it. It does not have to be this way unless we want it to be this way, but because we have this crab in the bucket mentality, people want it to be this way.
Well, you use the word think tanks come up with this. I watched Jesse Waters say it on TV last week. The word think shouldn't even be involved.
I watched
here.
It with you on our YouTube channel.
I mean,
Jack and Spike Show.
People making burgers don't deserve $20 an hour.
Right.
You know, ta-da. Okay, Mr. Sit on your butt and make seven figures, Jesse. You know why the 400's not rich? Why it doesn't feel wealthy when you make 400? Because that's Biden's tax. That's the lowest number. But remember, Biden promised last time, and he's promising again this time, that no tax increases for anybody making under $400,000 a year.
Yeah.
So there's some guy making $425 who's about to get a tax increase. Wait a minute. I'm not wealthy.
Yeah.
Because Biden says, I'm only going to tax the wealthy. I'm not going to ask the wealthy to pay their fair share. I mean, if the line was 500, people with 400 would be feeling great. But since they're going to get taxed a little more, they don't. I'm not wealthy. I'm struggling to get by. Yeah, I got two cars. I got a kid in private school.
I think that if people understood like the way that a corporation works, like I get a lot of people who say, I run a small business. My margins look like this, right? My margins are so awful. I don't think people realize that when you have a megacorp, Walmart, Disney, whatever it is, they bet on high turnover within those industries so that they don't have to pay people more in order to artificially inflate the overall price or stock price of that company.
Yep, absolutely.
That's baked into the way that they run their business. And we think that that's acceptable for some reason because it's quote unquote low skill labor, which is a term that was invented by people who thought, how do we classify the working man and woman out there? We'll call it low skill. That is a made-up term, and I don't think people realize this, and you can go and research this. Low-skill labor is a term that was fabricated by think tanks back in the 80s to try to convince people that that job was in some way not as important to the functioning of society as another job. And now you will have people who argue on behalf of it fervently. They will get so agitated about it, not realizing that that entire philosophic matrix that they've adopted was sought up by a bunch of guys in the back of a Bennigan's in 1985. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
let's call it low-skill labor, and that'll work, right?
That way our voters will feel better about themselves because they're not low-skill. The other guys are.
And when I campaign for people to be treated better, what do I get met with as a filthy capitalist?
You're called a
communist, socialist, boo, Jack, we hate you.
Rhino,
we hate you, go away. Hey, speaking of, by the way, messages that I get from people. No stupid questions, 888-973-5476. Segment we like to do every single day where I do not get mad, I do not get upset, and as a result, I do not get chewed out by the boss. This never happens. This has never happened previously in the past. Where I was maliciously maligned and assaulted by my boss.
Nope.
Never occurred, not one time. For the things that I have said on this fine radio program. We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back right after this. There are no stupid questions.
There are only stupid answers.
Ah, yes. No stupid questions. It's my favorite segment of the day because I never get mad. I never get upset. I'm always composed. I don't fly into fits of rage, and I have never done so in the past, Laura, and I am glad that we have had such a healthy discourse with the text line to the point where I have never ended up screaming at anybody. So, someone asked, you've answered this one before, but Jack, what happened to your YouTube channel? Did you know about my YouTube channel?
I know you had quite a bit of success.
I did have a decent amount of it, and it was highly edited. It was highly produced. I did it all by myself, and I did everything top to bottom.
That's a full-time job, right?
Yeah, and so it was, so basically this is what happened. A difficult story to tell because it's very emotional for me because I put a lot of time and effort into that YouTube channel.
Yeah.
So after Monson died, you and I were asked to do some fill-in work as they were looking for different hosts to kind of fill the slot. Now, I didn't think I was going to get offered a job, and you didn't think you were going to get offered a job because we are both in the industry what they call wingmen.
I was going to go with retread in my case, but not you.
We don't really run shows. We just kind of exist within them. And then Brian and Kathy offered us jobs, which was very nice of them.
Yep.
And then they made the announcement that we would take over this time slot. And some of the people, unfortunately, who were Monson's fans didn't realize that you had a private relationship with Monson off air for many, many years. And that I had a personal relationship with Monson and that I had spoken to him a couple of weeks before he passed away.
Yep.
And that we were contemporaries and good friends within the industry. So what they did is when they found out that I was going to get the job is they went to my YouTube channel and they copied the link in my email address from that. And then they posted it on some Facebook forum or whatever. And they said, this is the guy who's taking over Dory's show. Again, not realizing that Monson and I were very close contemporaries. And we spoke often about broadcasting and radio and all that jazz, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They thought I was just some like random guy
sure.
who didn't know Monson at all. And so they that group of people then decided to mass report every video that I had ever made. Now, I know this because I have produced 180 videos plus on that YouTube channel. And they went through every single one and they said child abuse, violence, copyright claim, whatever they could do.
Okay, yeah.
And then all those videos got then flagged and reviewed by YouTube. And I got not one, but two strikes. And if I had gotten a third one, I would have lost the entirety of that work.
Forever?
Forever. Yeah, wow. They would have just deleted the channel. Got me on a clip that I used from Back to the Future where I edited myself in as Marty McFly, which was very funny.
Wonderful.
And they got another clip where I had used footage from Tom Jones singing It's Not Unusual live back when he was doing Top of the Pops.
Okay.
And I had cut myself in as one of his background dancers, which was also very, very funny.
Yeah.
And so I didn't want to argue with the copyright holders for that. And so I accepted the strikes and I privated the entire channel. I didn't want to, you know what I mean? It's hard to walk away from something you've been working for 10 years on, but that I just had to do it to protect that body of work. And I've been slowly ripping it off of YouTube so I can actually have all that content for the future.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you've now turned your skills toward Jack and Spike Show YouTube channel.
I don't do the same thing at all that I do on that at all. It's not even close.
No. Because like we said, that was a full-time job and you already have one.
Yeah.
But the fact that we're able to do stuff socially or digitally on our own YouTube channel, I appreciate that what you bring to the table from experience
and
insight.
Thank you. And here's the other thing. I am not resentful to those people. I have forgiven those people because
you're a better man than me.
Well, I understand that grief takes many forms. So why would I be mad at people who do not understand how to process their own grief?
Makes perfect sense.
So it's kind of like finding forgiveness, even though I had been slighted in a very malicious and mean way. My thought was, I felt very bad for those people that they felt as if the only way to communicate to me was to go through my personal work and flag it and try to make it seem as if I was not only a child abuser, but also like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
My thought was like, I just felt bad for them. And so I forgive whoever those random people were. I forgive them. And they were successful in their attempt to get it taken down. I just chose to do it rather than having it taken down. Yeah. So I know that's kind of a downer of a story, but to make a moral out of it, I don't want to walk around for having resentment for people that don't necessarily know the implications of their actions. We don't do it to children.
Right.
So why would I do it to somebody in their 40s? Yeah. You know what I mean?
You turn the other cheek. Which would have got you a third strike if you did, by the way. So, yeah.
Let's see this. Should I talk about how much money I make? I don't think that's a good idea at all.
It's tax day.
I do fly first class, though. Yes, I do. Because like John Curley said, once you fly first class, you're not going back, baby. It's a totally different world. I'm a king, Spike. I'm a king in the air. No one's going to stop me. King of the world, baby.
Call us, Alaska Airlines. You're missing a moment here.
Alaska's got to call me. Andrew, please. Have Alaska call me. Please.
Who is this Alaska you're talking
about? Alaska Airlines. I only fly Alaska, baby. Come on now.
I think you should talk with the pilot the next time you hop on. They might be able to get a word in for
you. Alaska is, hands down, the finest airline that one could possibly have. And every time I sit outside of Jim Richmond's office and I wait for him to come out, I'm like a kid on Christmas morning. My knees, my arms are wrapped around my knees.
Yeah.
And I come out and I said, did Alaska call? And he goes, no, not yet. And I go, dang it, Jim.
Do you have a little Alaska airplane in your hands? You should.
I have a little pin that I wear.
Your wings?
I got my wings and I wait and I say, was it today, Jim? And he says, no, not today. And I go, dang it. And then I run downstairs. That's how that works. All right, we'll take a really quick break. When we get back, a huge number of homeowners have mortgage rates that are too good to give up. I'm not one of those people. Jason Rance has an article on how the real reason that the library's shutting down, drug addicts, boo, people who are suffering. And can homeless people, as this thing moves around weirdly, can homeless people be fined for sleeping outside a rural Oregon city, asks the Supreme Court? The answer's going to be no when we get back right after this.